in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tumam parta daimim prapatimashrita. Pajantya nanyam anasol kyabha bhutam avyam. This verse describes the engagement of the Mahatmas, or the great persons. Mahatmanas tumam parta daimim prapatimashrita. They take shelter of daimim prakriti. Prakriti means the nature or energy of the Lord. And daivi means transcendent. The Srimati Radharani is the transcendental energy of Krishna. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shuyate. In the Srutis, the Absolute Truth is described as having multifarious energies. Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruti. The Absolute Truth without energy is impersonal. And the idea of the energy as the Supreme is simply mistaken. The energy comes from a source of energy. Electricity comes from a powerhouse. Sunshine comes from the sun planet. So the energy comes from the source of energy. And Krishna is the source of all energies. Aham sarvasya purvamata sarvam vartate. Whatever there is comes from Krishna. This is the definition of absolute truth. Janmadyasya. From whom everything is coming. So Krishna is the source of all energies. The Lord has primarily three categories of energies. Chit-shakti, maya-shakti, jiva-shakti. Vishnu-shakti pra-prokta, kshetra-dhyakya-tata-para. Avidya karma-samgaya, karma-samgamya, tritiya-shakti, vishita. First comes the superior energy of the Lord. The superior energy is the energy found in the spiritual world. Completely eternal, transcendental, beyond Aditya Varnam Tamasa Padasta, beyond the darkness of this material world, is the Chit Shakti, or the spiritual energies. And Kshetra Gyatya Tatapana. Then there's the marginal energy, or the living entities, who also belong to the spiritual category. But being in the marginal position, they're sometimes covered by the material energy, and sometimes they're in contact with the spiritual energy. Like the sand on the beach, sometimes it's covered by the ocean water and sometimes it's uncovered. So the living beings are in the marginal position. They're not firmly situated. Irrevocably situated either under the spiritual energy or the material energy. Because they have tiny independence, they may sometimes be covered by the material energy. And avidya karma samgyamana, tritiya shakti rishite. Then there's the third energy, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The energy of ignorance, karma samyama, in which everyone is working hard. Tritiya shakti rishita. This is the third energy of the Lord, the material energy. The material, spiritual, and between the two, the marginal energy of the living beings. Then when we come to the spiritual energy also has multifarious divisions. But especially, the Lord has his potency for eternity, his potency for knowledge, and his potency for pleasure. So the pleasure energy of the spiritual potency is represented by, or not represented, Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Lord of Krishna. Now we have to ask, what will give Krishna pleasure? We take pleasure in material things. We get something made out of earth or water or fire, and put all of these elements together. We get a car or a house or something made of the material energy. And we say, this is pleasure. But adyanta bhakta kaunteya adnateshu ramate bhuta. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that actually an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in material things, because those things have a beginning and an end. They give some sensation of happiness to the senses, but that sensation doesn't stay very long. And therefore, in the material world, nobody is very happy. We spend most of our time working for pleasure. And then we get just, you look how the week is made, 5 days working and 2 days for happiness. So the percentage is not very good. And then apart from that, in those 2 days, how much pleasure do we get? Sometimes we're spending 1 day just recovering from the 5 days. So in the material world, there's only a little bit of pleasure, and that pleasure is not very, it's not actually pleasure. Like you take some kheer and mix with, say, a teaspoon of sand. Is it very nice? But it's 90% kheer. Why is it not nice? A little sand is enough to spoil the whole thing. Pleasure is not a mixture of happiness and distress. It's pure happiness. But pure happiness is not available in the material world. There's always distress mixed in. Therefore, Krishna, and apart from that, even if we think, no, this is pure happiness. Antya Bhanta Kote, Hare Krishna. But even if we say, no, this, you may say that it's mixed, or that I say it's nice, it's pleasure. But Krishna says, adyanta bhakta kaunteya. Even if you think, no, this is very nice, it will be finished. 5 minutes or 5 years, whatever, it will be finished. And then we lament, oh, I had it. Nateshu ramate bhuta. Therefore Krishna says, an intelligent person will never take pleasure in that material so-called happiness. If it's flashing, that means it's on. Or it's off.
It's on without sound.
On without sound. Silent mode. Like good children, they're seen but not heard. So after condemning material things as a source of pleasure, how can Krishna look toward matter as for pleasure? If Krishna is speaking to Arjuna that this material pleasure is actually the source of distress, that also he says, that yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yoni, the pleasure of the material world actually leads to sukha. That's the nature. To enjoy the pleasure of this material world, I have to accept the material body. And the material body is subject to suffering. Old age, disease, death, birth. So, after condemning material pleasure as being illusory, why will Krishna search after illusory pleasure? That's not sensible. Especially, we may also know, we may hear from scripture, this pleasure is not actually our friend. But because our senses are uncontrolled, still we go after that pleasure. Adanta govir vishadanta vishra. Puna punas charvata charvanana. It's like chewing the chewed. Someone has picked up some sugar cane and chewed it, and when all the juice is gone, he spits out the sugar cane, and someone else picks it up and tries to get some taste. So the same old stuff we're trying to enjoy in this material world again and again, and we're not getting any enjoyment. You chew it from this side or chew it from that side, there's no actual happiness in this material world. But puna punascharvati charva, we're chewing the chewed again and again. So Krishna is not like that, because he's Rishikesha. He's the controller of the senses. He's the controller of all senses. Now, why will he chase after material happiness? Krishna is not interested. So then, what will Krishna do for pleasure? Anandamaya Vyasa. We hear that the absolute truth is the source of pleasure. So actually, Krishna doesn't have to go anyplace else for pleasure. Atmarama. Krishna is satisfied in himself. We're not satisfied in ourselves. If you leave me alone, if everyone leaves, then I'll feel not very happy. And I have to give a talk to the empty room. There's some pleasure because we're gathered as a group. If my wife has gone away, then I'm feeling lonesome. And my wife has gone to India for 2 months. We enjoy pleasure when we have our husbands and wives and family members, children, friends. Then we enjoy. But Krishna is self-sufficient. Atmarama, self-satisfied. He can enjoy by himself. He doesn't require any external anything. Because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So, he's everything. There's nothing outside of Krishna that he has to go looking someplace outside of himself. Whatever he wishes is within himself. He showed Jashoda Mayi. And you want to see in my mouth whether I've eaten some earth. You look inside. She looked inside. She saw everything. All the planets, all the universes, all the demigods, everything was within Krishna's mouth. Arjuna also saw. Everything is here. In one place, within your form. So Krishna includes everything. There's nothing that he has to go searching for elsewhere. Well, the pleasure is already there within Krishna. But to enjoy that pleasure, Krishna expands. That Krishna with his expansion is still just Krishna. Just as the sun, when the sun expands its sunlight, sunshine, still it's the sun. We don't think there's something separate. That the sun is one thing, sunshine is another thing. Sunshine is also an integral part of the sun. But the sun is the source of the sunlight, and the sunlight is the emanation from the sun. And together, the sunshine and the sun planet are the complete sun. So Krishna expands himself as Srimati Radharani, and together they're the complete absolute truth. The source of energy along with the energy. The Hare Krishna. The energy alone is meaningless. Just sunshine without the sun planet is meaningless. The sun must be there. And the sun planet without any sunshine is also meaningless. What kind of sun are you with no sunshine? There must be sunshine. So when the sun and the sunshine are there, then you have the complete sun. So Krishna is complete with his energies. Without energies, there's no meaning to the absolute truth. And the Absolute Truth is full of pleasure when he manifests himself with his pleasure energy. Then we have Radha Krishna. As Krishna is not an ordinary boy of this material world, Srimati Radharani is not an ordinary girl of this material world. Avajananti mahmuta madhushim tanamashram param pavam jananto mahabhuta maheshram. Krishna says, the only person who thinks that I'm an ordinary human being is a fool. Mudha. Param pavam jananto. The fools don't know my superior nature. They think that I'm an ordinary cow because I'm performing pastimes as a cowherd boy. They think that I'm an ordinary boy. Or because I'm performing pastimes like a king, they think that I'm an ordinary king. They don't understand my transcendental nature. Krishna appeared with this before Devaki and Vasudeva with Shankachakra Gadapadma. What kind of anyone here had a child born with Shankachakra Gadapadma? This is only Krishna. Well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he may perform pastimes resembling those of an ordinary human being, but he's never among the human beings. He's always Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God. So Srimati Radharani is also not one of the living beings of this material world. She's not even one of the liberated jivas of the spiritual world, the liberated souls. She's directly Krishna. That is, she's directly Krishna's internal Ladini Shakti, pleasure energy. Now, how will Srimati Radharani give pleasure to Krishna? What is it that Krishna gets pleasure from? That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita that bhajantya nanya manaso, taking shelter of the pleasure energy, what does one do? And what does that pleasure energy do for Krishna? The pleasure energy serves Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanis jasvi tatvata. Krishna is pleased by devotional service. He's not pleased by fruitive activities, hard work, or mental speculation. He's not pleased by, ultimately, anything but pure devotional service. That's where Krishna's actual pleasure lies. Krishna is pleased when his devotees serve him because he's the Supreme Master. Sarvaloka Maheshwara, Parameshwara, Supreme Controller. His nature is that he's the Supreme Controller. And controller means there must be controlled also. King means there must be subjects. So, Supreme Controller means that someone must be there to serve the Supreme Controller. And the Supreme Servant is Srimati Radharani. She's the Supreme Servant of Krishna. No one can surpass the service rendered to Krishna by Srimati Radharani. Pure devotional service. In the material world, we may serve someone, but we have some motive, some consideration. If I serve this man, then he'll be my sponsor and I can stay in Dubai and I can get some money. If I serve this person, then he can do me a favor. If I, even between husband and wife, I'll do something for him, he'll do something for me. I'll do something for her, she'll do something for me. We're finally thinking about what will make me happy. This is the nature of service and material. We're serving in our jobs. But if I don't get paid, I stop serving. Even if I get paid, sometimes I stop serving. I say, pay me more.
In India, it stinks. India only they do strength.
India, here they don't strength. No facilities.
Strength without sound, yes.
Without sound. But still, if I don't get paid, I won't work here either. That means that my service is, finally, I'm serving myself. I'm serving my own interests. And I may say, my dear customer, I just want, you know, we believe in service to our customers. We believe in service to our country. We believe in service to, and finally, we all believe in serving ourselves. That's the material world. But the spiritual world, vahitakiya pratihata, there's no motive. Vahitaki. It's not that in the spiritual world one serves Krishna to get something. In the material world, we do. That's pious. A person is pious if he approaches Krishna and says, my dear Krishna, I have a financial problem, if you could please help me. My dear Krishna, I'm in distress. Please, you could help. We come to Krishna for something. Because God is great, so I might as well. That's intelligent. Why should I approach anyone else to solve my problem? If Krishna is the greatest, then let Krishna solve my problem.
So you're making him our servant?
Yes, it's some business. But because I'm approaching Krishna for that business, that's called sukriti, bias. But on the perfect devotee, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he approached Krishna, that my stepmother has insulted me. She says that I can't have the kingdom because I'm not her son. I can't sit on the throne. So he, Dhruva Maharaj, wanted that. I want a better kingdom. So he was worshipping Vishnu. He heard from his mother that maybe God can help you. All right, then let me worship God. That means he wanted something. But when he finally got the darshan of Lord Narayan, then Lord Narayan asked, what would you like? No, I don't want anything. Svamin kritartosmi varam niyache. I don't have anything to ask. I'm completely satisfied just by seeing you. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, Nrisingadev, offered him, do you take something from me? Take some benediction. Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not a monk, I'm a merchant, that I have to ask you for something. No, I want you to ask me for something. Please ask me for something. I'll become very happy if you ask me for something. Prahlad Maharaj said, no, please, I'm born in a demon family, I have all of these propensities to ask for something. Please don't tempt me, I just want to serve you. No, I want to give you something. Please take some time. All right, you please give liberation to my father.
That's
that means he had no material moment that I want this, I want that.
Was he attached to his father?
No. Natanam najaram nusandurim kavitam va jagadisha kame. Mama janmani janmani shale bhavatan bhaktir vintakita. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prayed. I don't want money, I don't want followers. Generally, if we don't want money, then we want followers. That this person is so great that he doesn't want any money. Then everyone will be impressed and they'll follow him. So I'm thinking, what do I need money for? I have followers. And if I'm not interested in money or followers, then generally we're interested in having a nice wife. Beautiful wife. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want money, followers, a nice, beautiful wife. Then what do you want? You must want liberation. No, I don't want liberation. Mama janmani janmani shure tad bhavatad bhaktir vaitukitai. I just want to engage in your service, life after life. And this is pure devotional service. Of course, Krishna is pleased if anyone comes to him for devotional service under any circumstances. But he's fully pleased by pure devotional service. In mixed devotional service, it's the service that's pleasing, and the other stuff is tolerated. But when there's pure devotional service, then Krishna is completely leaves. So Srimati Radharani is the energy of Krishna for pure devotional service. It may appear that Radharani is like a young girl, Krishna is like a young boy, and that's also a fact, that they're not a young boy and girl in this material world. And their activities are not the activities of young boys and girls in the material world. The actual activity of the spiritual world is only devotional service. Pure devotional service. Pavitram. In the material world, everything is contaminated. But in the spiritual world, everything is pure. Urdvamula madha shaka. Ashutam Vetad Uttama. The Bhagavad Gita describes that the material world is like a banyan tree with the roots up and the branches down. Have you ever seen a tree with roots up and branches down? Such a tree one sees in the water. Because the real tree is standing on the bank, branches up, roots down, and then it's reflected in the water in the opposite way. Well, the material world is the reflection, perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So in the material world, we have everyone out for himself trying to enjoy. And we make different kinds of arrangements. Oh, I just want to do this for you. That's it. Then it's understood, you'll do something for me. But in the spiritual world, it's completely pure. All the devotees just want to serve Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocal. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataya bhavajamiha. As one serves Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So the devotees are all interested in pleasing Krishna, but Krishna's only interest is to please his devotees. This is the business of Krishna. In fact, there's a competition between Krishna and his pleasure energy. The pleasure energy tries to please Krishna, or Srimati Radharani tries to give pleasure to Krishna, and Krishna tries to give more pleasure to Srimati Radharani. In this way, Krishna is competing with his own energy. He expands his energy. His energy expands to give more pleasure, and then he expands to give more pleasure, and then it's going in that way. Anandam buddhi bhavanam. The pleasure in the material world, pleasure is actually decreasing. We get a new car. I'm so happy. It's brand new and it's so shiny and smells new and it drives new.
BMW.
And it's a great source of happiness. But then it becomes a one-year-old BMW, then a two-year-old BMW. And three-year-old BMW, so many
accidents.
So many things requires repair, and it's just not new. The guy next door has a brand new BMW, and mine's now 3 years old. And finally, actually, it deteriorates, finally, so many thousands of miles, everybody's sad. It's no longer a source of happiness, it's just a source of when can I get rid of this? That's the material world. Everything starts out, perhaps, as being nice, and gradually it becomes stale. After a while it becomes stale. But it is diminishing returns. We want something, we get it. After so much trouble, aspiration, finally we get it. And when we've got it, it's not, all right, now I have it. But then having it doesn't give such a thrill after a while. All right, now what's next? All right, now I'm making $40,000 a year. I always wanted to make $40,000. Now I am making $40,000. $40,000 isn't very much. If I had $60,000 or $80,000. and so on. When I get to 80,000 also, it won't be. So this is the material world. Everything, the pleasure diminishes. Everything diminishes. But in the spiritual world, anandam buddhivartana, the pleasure is always increasing. Because it's spiritual. Material means decreasing. It appears and stays and may grow for some time, but then it diminishes. Just like this body. The body is, it grows, it gives some happiness. The child is happy, I'm growing. And after some time, he starts growing old. First he grows up, then he grows old. And growing old is not such a pleasure. This doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and this is falling apart, and this is giving pain, and this is giving trouble. But the body itself, which is supposed to be a source of pleasure, all the pleasure comes from the body. But the body itself also starts giving more trouble, and what pleasure does one get? I mean, eating becomes not very happy, sleeping, nothing gets. Body just becomes troublesome. So, material nature is like that, diminishing. But the spiritual nature is always increasing. It's dynamic. In the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, nothing ever changes. Everything just is. There's no energy, there's no anything to happen. It's just eternal isness, eternal being. But no action. Something like a movie. If you go to the movies and all you saw was a white screen for 2 hours. Not very. Where's the enjoyment? You want to see action, and this guy's punching that guy, and this guy's running away from that guy, and there are a few songs, and whatever. Something has to be happening. Always something has to be happening. The viewer should not have to sit there for more than 30 seconds without something happening. That's our nature. We want action. But in the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, there's no action. There's no individual identity. There's no actor, even. There's no actor. There's no action. There's nothing. There's something. And the Buddhists say there's nothing. And the Shankarites say there's something. But what is that something? Practically the same as nothing. There's no names, no qualities, no form, no activity. And there's something, but it so closely resembles nothing that one could be forgiven for failing to notice the difference. So the Absolute Truth is full of pleasure. His pleasure energy is manifested as Srimati Radharani, and we're meant to be connected with that pleasure energy. Because we're also pleasure-seeking beings. Now we're seeking pleasure apart from Krishna in this material world. And the result is that we're feeling frustrated. Or if we're not feeling frustrated, we're fools. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said there are two kinds of persons who are happy: the Paramahansas and the fools. Paramahansas are happy because they're in Krishna consciousness, and the fools are happy because they're fools. Now, everyone else is in the middle, not quite satisfied. So one becomes happy by being connected with Krishna. And what is that connection? That connection is devotion service. So the living being gets the blessing of devotional service, the opportunity to render devotional service to Krishna by the mercy of Krishna's potency for devotional service, his potency for the happiness of Krishna consciousness, Srimati Radharani. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This Hare is addressing Srimati Radharani. Hara. vocative case becomes Hare. So the mantra is addressing Krishna and the pleasure energy of Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Daivim Prakritam Ashrita. This is, therefore, Krishna consciousness is for the Mahatmas. Daivim Mahatmanas Tumam Partha. Daivim Prakritam Ashrita. The Mahatmas are those who take shelter of Srimati Radharani, or they take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's energy, divine energy, Srimati Radharani and Radha Krishna. How? Then what? Bhajanti Ananya Manasa. Gyatva Bhutara Vandana. By engaging in the service of Radha Krishna. Of course, chanting is service. Chanting means kirtanam. Hearing and chanting is transcendental service to Krishna. If we do no other service, if we're simply hearing and chanting, that's complete. Of course, they're hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, so many ways. But this hearing and chanting are most important. Sri Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show the mood of pure devotional service. He comes, he's Krishna. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nami Kortusha. He's Krishna. But he's coming in the mood of a devotee of Krishna. That means actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Inwardly, outwardly, and inwardly, he's Radha Krishna. Outwardly, he's a devotee. And inwardly, he's Krishna. Of course, Krishna, there's no difference between within and without. But he's Krishna in the role of a devotee. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayam. Well, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna can best be understood through the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood through the teachings of his immediate followers, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Therefore we have this book, Nectar of Devotion, given by Srila Rupa Goswami, similarly Upadesha Amrita. These are teachings of the Goswamis. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Guru Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. By understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the teachings of the Goswamis, then we can properly understand Radha Krishna. If we try to understand Radha Krishna by our own mental speculation or what we think, we'll misunderstand. Radha Krishna are very confidential. To understand Radha Krishna, to understand Krishna is very confidential. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadi siddhaye yadatam abhi siddhanam kaschinam eti tattvatam. Anyone can say, oh, well, I understand Krishna, but to understand Krishna factually, tattvatam, is a very rare thing. But in Kali Yuga, if we take to the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's in the merciful mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. And Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahabhadana. He's the most merciful. So in this way we can understand properly and make our life successful. Hare Krishna. Okay, who's the culprit? No. Just please turn off, tell the person you'll call back. Excuse me? Tell him unless his house is on fire, you'll call him back.
I didn't
have any book for you. Ah.
Mother, please.
that someone wants to come here.
Yeah.
What can you do? I guess that one is...
It's compassion to bring it.
Okay. It's like a valid excuse.
One question.
You can have two.
Shrimati Radharani's mood when Krishna separated went away to Mathura, fighting with Kamsa and all those feelings of separation, and Krishna left him in between also. The Madhurashtakam was sang, the 10th canto. All those actually, Shrimati Radharani was getting annoyed in the Mangar also and the Barsana. All those were because Krishna liked that mood, or she was really angry with Krishna, or Krishna wanted to her to become angry, and with that he gets happiness.
She also gets happiness.
Okay.
When the wife is angry at the husband, she gets transcendental happiness. It's very relishable.
In the spiritual world also?
In the spiritual world more. The material world is just the reflection. You don't actually get so much happiness. You just get to be a little angry, some happiness, but that's not real happiness. But in the spiritual world, it's absolutely pleasure. To be angry at Krishna is also pleasure. Of course, we can't imitate that they will be angry at Krishna. But those who are in spontaneous love of Krishna, their anger is also an expression of love. And we can understand when the mother is angry at the child, that's love. That's love. So even when the husband and wife, just like Krishna, he was telling Rukmini that, you know, you made a big mistake when you chose your husband. Shishupala wanted to marry you, and so many big princes and kings wanted to marry you. And who am I compared to them? They're such great heroes. I'm just a coward. I'm so afraid of everyone else that I've made my kingdom out in the middle of the ocean where no one can reach me. And nobody knows who I am. No one knows whether I'm a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. No one knows whether I'm the son of Nanda Maharaj or the son of Vasudev. No, I'm really an unqualified person. Everyone's against me. So you made the wrong choice. You made the wrong choice. But anyway, better late than never. Now you're free. You can choose someone else. Now they'd been married for so many years. Rukmini had grown sons also. And Krishna's saying, well, it's okay. If you like, you can get a divorce. So why is Krishna speaking that way? Just so that she'll get angry. This is pleasure in householder life, when there's the husband can say something that will make the wife angry, the wife will say something that will get the husband angry. This is enjoyment. So this is there in Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. And just to make Rukmini, just to see how her eyes would become cross and she would become look at him with angry eyes and speak with scolding words. Krishna said all these things. Krishna enjoys. But Rukmini's nature is that she's very submissive and compliant. So instead of speaking against Krishna or becoming angry at Krishna, she just fainted. She just fainted. Satyabhama is different. Satyabhama is very fiery. Satyabhama is very fiery. But Rukmini is very submissive. So then Krishna revived her and said that, I didn't know that you would react that way. I just meant to create some joking between us. This is how we enjoy. So Krishna enjoys, and Krishna's associates also enjoy. In the spiritual world, everything is enjoyable. the cowherd boys, they also, they enjoy in different ways. And Krishna, the friends, Krishna teases his friends that you're in fighting. Sometimes they fight among another, like mock fighting. Hey, Krishna, you're all weaklings. You don't know how to fight. And then they also retaliate. No, you're a weakling. You don't know how to fight. So it's enjoyment. Your friends enjoy, and Krishna also enjoys. If not only one mood, big smile painted on your face, and you're always enjoying. That's monotonous. Enjoyment means that there's different kinds of tastes. Just if you have gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns. That's not enjoyment. Enjoyment is gulab jamuns and something with chili.
Pani puri.
Pani puri. You're a pani puri fan too? Pani puri and bhel puri and samosas and kachoris and dogla and rasgullas and variety. Not that only one taste. There have to be many tastes, and when you get many tastes together, then you get enjoyment. Or when there's a painting, and there's blue, and there's yellow, and there's red, and there are flowers, different colors, then it becomes more nice. Different colors, different fragrances. Then you get more happiness. It's all one, just this garland has mostly one kind of flower, but then there's some other kinds of flowers, different colors, different scents. So it becomes more enjoyable. So the spiritual world is not monotonous. That there's only one thing. Because sometimes we see the pictures of heaven according to some religious conception. Everybody's just kind of floating around in the clouds playing harps all day. Very boring. Very boring. Nothing to do. I asked one of the boys, I said, he's going back to school. I said, so you like school more or you like vacation more? No, I like school more. Why do you like school? All my friends are there, so many things to do. Vacation is boring. So we like to have so many different things going on. So there's so many tastes in the spiritual world. The anger is there. There's joking is there. There's all kinds of tastes. There's maternal affection. There's friendship. There's every kind of taste that we have in the material world, but it's in the pure form. It's in the pure form. And here it's adulterated. Oh, it's enjoyable for Krishna, enjoyable for the devotees.
Maharaj, Balaji and Krishna, the pastime they are having in the spiritual world, is it the same when she descended into the planet Earth and the Indian pastimes?
Same as?
Same they are having there also?
Goloka as well as?
Yeah, same thing. This topic is discussed in the third volume of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, just still in preparation. Sanatana Goswami discusses this topic at length, that essentially there's no difference between Goloka and Gokula, or Vrindavan in the spiritual world and Vrindavan manifest on earth. The only difference between Vrindavan there and Vrindavan here is that here it's here. Otherwise it's the same.
The main question people ask, why Radha and Krishna are not husband, I would say, marriage?
Why are they not married? Why do they have to be married? Married is for this material world. You want them to be in step with the morality of this material world. Why do they have to be in step with the morality of the material world? It's the spiritual world. It's okay. That's all right. I'm just being fidgety. Why do they have to be in touch?
They're
bound.
They're married, he's
asking.
They're married. Actually, they're not married. Maybe for
the presence of Brahma and other things,
the story we have. Maybe there for the people who are dissatisfied that they're not married.
When I hear this,
there's some show that, all right, we're married. But actually, they're not married. They don't require to be married. Marriage is required because otherwise it's immoral. Here in the material world, if a man and woman are associated and they're not married, that's a dharma. Is it
Spiritual is dharma.
In the spiritual world, there's no question of adharma, because Krishna is dharma himself. Krishna himself is the author of dharma. Dharma hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. What Krishna says, that's dharma. These shastras, why are they? Dharma is coming from the shastras. Why are, do we say that the shastras represent dharma? Because they're coming from the breathing of Narayana. They're emanating from the Supreme Personality of God. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of dharma, how can anything does be adharma? Pavitram in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram. You're completely pure, Arjuna told Krishna. In the Isha Upanishad, Asnaviram Shuddham Apapavitam. He's pure and purifying. Anything touched by Krishna becomes pure. Just in the material world, when someone passes stool and urine in the field becomes contaminated. But the sun absorbs the urine, sterilizes the place, so the sun doesn't become contaminated. Lord Shiva drank poison, but he wasn't affected. If we drink poison, we'll be affected. The same rules don't apply. Don't eat that, it's poison. But Krishna, it doesn't matter, he can eat the whole world. Lord Shiva, part and parcel of Krishna, he can drink a whole ocean of poison, and we won't be affected. But what's possible for the great controllers is not possible for us. Therefore, we have to be told, you take food, don't take poison. But for the super powerful, for Lord Shiva, drinking poison is quite all right. So similarly, we require to be married. Otherwise it's adharma. But Krishna has no such requirement. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Besides, Radharani is only Krishna. Especially the worst thing in the material world, to man and woman associated. But if the woman is someone else's wife, then it's very abominable. But there's no question of Radharani belonging to anyone else. She's Krishna's. She's none different from Krishna because she's Krishna's energy. Just like the sun, you can't criticize. You're associating with the sunshine. Who gave you the right? Sunshine is Krishna, is the sun's energy. The sun is always associated with the sunshine. So Radha and Krishna are completely pure. But the other reason is that...
But Srimati Radharani was married to someone else.
Oh, yes. So why married to someone else? The reason is, may confidentially be explained, that when there's some boundary and we live within the boundaries, then that pleasure has some boundaries. The pleasure has some boundaries, that we're living within the... Just like a child. You tell the child that within these three blocks you can play, don't go outside the three blocks. So he'll play with his bicycle, whatever, within the three blocks. And he's enjoying. But he'll enjoy more when he thinks, ah, now let me go beyond the three blocks. Now I'll go to the fourth block. And they won't catch me. That's more enjoyable. Just because they said that you can't do it, now if you do it, it's more happiness. Is it not? The one thing that they tell you can't do, when you do that, that's more enjoyable. When you overstep the rules. Just like we're coming here, we're not supposed to be doing these meetings, but we're meeting, so it's more enjoyable. Special taste. Where we're allowed to do it, it's nice, but where you're not allowed to do it, and you're doing it anyway, there's more taste.
So it will be more tasty in Saudi Arabia.
More tasty in Saudi Arabia. So, but there's no question of overstepping any rules, Radha and Krishna, because there are no rules.
Because there's no lust.
There's no rules, because Krishna is the supreme authority. He can't break the law because he is the law. Krishna himself is the author of all the laws. So then there are no laws to overstep. And there's no question of immorality because Radharani is only Krishna's energy. So where's the question of anything immoral or anything improper? But then there's no taste of, you miss that taste of overstepping the boundaries. So Krishna, another energy is of Krishna, Yogamaya, creates the illusion that there's some boundaries. She manifests all that Radharani is married, that Radha and Krishna aren't married, that they're meeting secretly, that all of these things are very illegal. It's created by Krishna's energy just to expand the taste. If there are no line to step over, then you don't get the pleasure of stepping over the line. So Krishna's energy creates a line so that they can then step over it and enjoy more. Clear? That's the reason. But we're judging everything from the material world. We're saying, oh, they're doing this, they're doing that. This is why are they doing this? This is no, they haven't. This has nothing to do with the material world. Therefore, I said at the beginning, if we think that Krishna is an ordinary boy, Radharani is an ordinary girl, we'll misunderstand everything. We'll misunderstand everything.
Is Radharani's
name mentioned even in Let me finish this point. That this will be a misunderstanding. We'll think that Krishna is an ordinary boy, Radharani is an ordinary girl. And we'll miss it. Therefore, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are not to be read. Or they're not for the general public. Now you saw so many cinema things, Radha and Krishna. And it's not meant for the general public, not even meant for the general devotees. One has to be purified to understand first what is Krishna. Now we're even thinking that Krishna is this, Krishna is that. First we have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have to understand that we're servants of Krishna. And we have to understand that Srimati Radharani is the transcendental energy of Krishna. We have to understand Krishna Tattva. We have to understand the science of Krishna. And then in the advanced stage, we'll understand what is Radha Krishna and what are their dealings. Otherwise, even though we're told 1,000 times, it's not this, it's not this, still we'll think, no, it's this. We'll think that it's something like material dealings. And therefore we have to be purified by chanting Hare Krishna, by rendering devotional service, by being trained under proper guidance. Then in the mature stage we'll understand. Therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami didn't immediately jump to 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. First he's speaking the first 9 cantos. What is the creation? What is the sub-creation? How is the material universe situated with all of its planetary systems? How is everything being maintained? So many things he discussed. Then in the mature, in the final stage, he described in 10th canto, what are the pastimes of Krishna, what is Krishna's dealings in Vrindavan. Not in the beginning. Even though there was only 7 days. So now the Bhagavatam reciters, they jump at once to the 10th canto. But Sukadeva Goswami didn't do that. So understanding Krishna is a science. We have to go step by step. Otherwise, if we jump, just like in some chemical process, step one, step two, if you just jump to the 5th step because you want the 5th, that doesn't work. You have to go patiently step by step by step. So we have to step by step understand the science of Krishna. Then in the mature stage, we'll understand what is Radha Krishna, what are their dealings, what is the nature of the pleasure energy in the spiritual world. Otherwise, in our present condition, we'll misunderstand. Her name is hinted at in Srimad Bhagavatam, Aradhana, that the devotee who renders the best service. Even Sukadeva Goswami, we're chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, although Prabhupada didn't chant. We sometimes hear devotees chant Jai Radhe. Sukadeva Goswami didn't even mention the name of Srimati Radhe.
She was his guru. Sukadeva Goswami is mentioned as a guru. Sukadeva Goswami used to take Srimati Radhani as a guru. He didn't mention her name anywhere.
No, because he mentioned, he confidential, so he didn't mention.
Is it not right to take the name of Shankar and then normal attributes in the Koyam Sutra?
Pardon me?
That Jai Radhe, that was the thing, you're not supposed to.
I never heard Prabhupada chant Jai Radhe. I don't know any rule, but I never heard Prabhupada chant.
So that Radha Rani ki Jai, we are not supposed to sing? Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai, and all.
I don't know where this is coming from.
Somebody said not to.
I don't know where it's coming from. I know where it's coming from. It's a popular bhajan chanted in Vrindavan. But I don't know the sampradaya. We have to take the mantras that we're instructed in the sampradaya.
So it stops at Gaurani Taikiji, that's
all. I'll tell you what Prabhupada chanted. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. That was Prabhupada's kirtan.
In the normal arti or the mangal arti time also, the end.
Samsarada, what end?
After singing Shri Krishna and Hare Krishna, after that, you don't say Gurudeva and all that.
Prabhupada didn't. Prabhupada's kirtan was Shri Krishna Chaitanya, there was nothing at the end. Morning, Samsarada. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna.
And the deity there, whichever temple.
That's something else added later, after Prabhupada's disappearance or some other time. Prabhupada never chanted any of these things.
We can follow like that.
I certainly wouldn't complain. Prabhupada chanted Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And there's Shruti Kirti Prabhu tells some story that some devotees were chanting Haribol, Haribol. Yeah. And Prabhupada said, they may chant Haribol, but we'll chant Hare Krishna and go back to Bhagavad.
Mayapur.
Mayapur, right? You've read this, so confirmed. Our devotees, right? They were chanting, but Prabhupada, they may chant Haribol, Haribol. We'll chant Hare Krishna and go.
Are you supposed to sing the presiding deity wherever you
are? I never supposed to. If you're supposed to, Prabhupada didn't. And I never heard any instruction from Prabhupada that you're supposed to. He didn't, nor did he instruct us to. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he instructed in Chaitanya Charitamrita that you can also, he said they can also add these two lines, Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. It's also chanting Hare Krishna, another way to chant Hare Krishna. Sampradaya. We should chant what's chanted in the Sampradaya. What's coming in the disciple. Something else? Pardon me? Mm-hmm. Any other question? Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Gaura Prema Devi.